praise the Lord that we're embarrassed. Help us, Lord. Is this the one I want? Thanks. I printed two of these, and one that's printing is very small. So, this next session is going to be about benefits. Benefits are good. Benefits of drawing near to the Lord. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and anybody? Forget not all his benefits." How many of you know all of his benefits? We're all failed already. There are too many to number here today, but I'm going to go fast and furious and hit on a few. And just like we talked about earlier, the sobering thing about God's benefits is that sometimes they are just given, they're always given in mercy, because we don't deserve any of the goodness that we have received from God. But his benefits are almost always contingent on us. And I know we don't always like to hear that, because we like to not feel responsible. But God has offered open invitations to us, and he has made it plain in his word, but there are things that we have to do. And I'm going to give you a personal, very personal, super personal example of this. And that is that when I was younger, when I was 13, 14, I was really drawing near to the Lord. I was really close to him. I was really connected. And God carried me through so many things, so many difficulties. It didn't even touch me. Because I believe, now looking back, I was hidden in a secret place. And those things didn't have the effect on me. And I took it for granted. And so over the years, as I was not in the right place, we came to Haines, we're living here, and we had a seriously painful thing. It was painful for me, traumatic actually, that happened after we moved here. And I'm not going to go into all the details, it will just have to suffice, since we're all ladies and you might tell someone else about it, no. It'll just have to suffice that it was a challenging, difficult situation. It has nothing to do with the Facebook thing. It was a challenging, difficult, you were all wondering. It was a very challenging, difficult thing, okay? And I didn't take it to the Lord. And that pain settled in my heart. The hurt from it, the betrayal that I felt, became, Melina knows all about it, it became anger and bitterness. Because they didn't take it to the Lord. And it lasted for years. And one hurt led to another one. And it became easier to be hurt because it was still carrying on from the last hurt. So there's an open wound, right? And it was easier to pick at it. And my goodness, the enemy picked that thing. And that bitterness spread into other areas of my life. And things that should not have been painful like they were became devastating to me. They turned into literal trauma that I probably should have got counseling for, I don't know. But they just went, I can only describe it that they went down deep into my heart. Down deep, and they affected me, I think maybe 7 years. bitterness. And I could look back and I can say, God, you promised me in your word that you would shield me. Or God, you promised in your word perfect peace. You promised to carry me, make me an overcomer in every situation. I mean, you all know these promises that we have. And I could have brought those challenges. And sometimes I was mad. I mean, because of the anger, I was mad at everybody. I'm mad at Rob. I'm mad at the people who I think inflicted the pain, the people who possibly inflicted the pain, and the people who didn't protect me from the pain. I mean, it just spread. Can anyone relate? There are things that just spread. And so you end up blaming, you end up cutting relationships, and it affects everybody. It's not just us that it's wounding. It's cutting off the life that's supposed to be flowing out and what's coming out. So I wasn't constantly ugly. You know, life went on, and God was so merciful and so good. But my point in it is that there were benefits that I did not experience because I wasn't doing my part. I wasn't drawing near to the Lord. So when this, excuse me, I do need water. Rob, would you mind getting some water? I joked about it earlier because that's what all good speakers say is, oh, I need some water. I really do not. I say that because then when this most recent thing happened, the betrayal I immediately felt was very difficult, very hard, could have become the same thing, But I had been drawing near to the Lord, and he was really close to me. And when that happened, I pulled away. And I'm not saying this to toot my own horn. I'm saying it for your benefit, and I'm being honest, because I admitted to the ugliness of the other situation. So I pulled away. I wanted to turn to my mother. That was my first instinct. I want to call my mom. I want to cling to Rob. I want to rant to him. I want to rave. I want to be angry. I want to give them a piece of my mind. I want to defend myself. There's a myriad of responses that we have when hardship comes, right? But what I needed and what the Lord graciously worked in me to do was to pull aside. So I went to my bedroom, I closed the door, I just had this belly sob that came out of me. I'm just bawling my eyes out and just falling on my knees like, God, please help me. And what happened in pouring out my heart and the hurt and praying for the people hurting is that I was able to get up without any anger. I'm going to cry. And any bitterness. And see, when I, 7 years ago, when that initial hurt happened with the other situation, I didn't know what it would cost me to not draw near to the Lord at that time. I had no idea that it might be a 7-year thing that I would deal with, that my children would have to deal with, that my friends would have to. I mean, because it affects everything. Belina's having to deal with me, and then she's having to work out my issues.
Because I have my own issues.
Right.
I love you, Courtney.
Oh,
you're precious to me.
I appreciate that. I'm just saying that we affect each other, and I didn't know all the things it would cost me, and we don't know the cost in the beginning when we decide not to obey the call to come and to lay our burdens down and to cast our care and to not be anxious and to forgive. I mean, the myriad of commandments that I broke in that situation, I was guilty on every count. And I got the fruit of my choice. That's, I stopped taking a drink just a minute. This is not a prop. Okay, I don't know what I've got there. So, it is, so when I was able to get up from that quiet time with the Lord, and it wasn't long, it was just enough for me to pour out and pray, the Lord carried that. I don't have any anger. I mean, God tests my heart. There's no bitterness, but who knows what could have been.
Right.
I mean, it could have been a massive mess. It could have destroyed everything. So God is so faithful to us. And remember the scripture that, oh, if they had such a heart for me, that they would fear me and keep my commandments, that it would go well with them. God wants it to go well with us. And that's why he tells us forgive. That's why he tells us cast your care. Seek first the kingdom of God. When we go through difficulty, we need to turn to him. And then those promises, if we're abiding in the shelter of the Most High, those promises are ours. And so in this situation, God, you are a shield to me. You shielded me. You kept me in peace. I can't actually say perfect peace because I was, my body just did this trembling thing that I could hardly crack. But anyway, there were promises that were mine because of that. And the Lord was faithful. Faithful, so faithful, and so good. And so that situation, that hard situation I went through 7 years ago, praise God for it. I thank God for it. He works in everything for our good. And the thing that the enemy means for evil to destroy us, God can turn for good. And I'm seeing that. But I wish I didn't have to go through it originally. And I don't know that I had to go through it, except that my own choices brought me there. So we're going to talk about benefits of drawing near. And the first one is that he keeps us in his peace. And so also with that is that he doesn't just keep us in his peace, but he actually literally guards our minds and our hearts. And our minds need guarded, right?
Yes.
Our minds need guarded. We need protection from the enemy. We have a real enemy. We need shielded. So Proverbs 4 says that we're supposed to, above everything else, guard our hearts. Because out of it flow the issues of life, or it affects everything else we do. That's what that means. Guard your heart, because it affects everything. And so in, this is Philippians 4:6, he says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. We don't even understand how we can be peaceful in this situation. It guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So he's actually, when we're coming to him and we're casting our care, he's guarding our heart for us. He's helping us. But what's our part? Did you hear any of it? You're not to be anxious. You're to come to the Lord. You're to lay down your burden. You're to cast your care because he cares for you. That's our work. So you see how, I just want everybody to, we have a work to do. There's something God, he's put a responsibility on us. It's not meant to be a burden or anything like that, but that we have a role to play in receiving the blessings of God. The next one is that he shields us, and I shared about this. Oh, the times we've needed shielded. So much opportunity to be shielded. If you're married, you need shielded. If you work in the world, you need shielded. If you watch TV, you need shielded. No matter what we do, we need the shield of the Lord. When we turn to him, he helps us. He strengthens us. He's one that enables us to forgive beyond our own natural ability. And it's supernatural. It's his love. It's his perspective that helps us to lay down and move on. Shield. The next one is that he gives us rest. We read that earlier, Matthew 11:28. Anyone in need of rest? We need rest all the time. He promises, but he says, you want the rest? Come to me. Come to me. Your heavy burden? Come to me. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I think it looks like some of the things we're doing. We're coming to him. We're listening to his word. We're drawing near early in the morning. We're spending time with him throughout the day. We're coming in our hearts. We're focusing on him. We're giving him our attention. We're crying out, Lord, I need rest. And sometimes I'm convicted if I'm in a situation and I'm not experiencing rest, I'm probably carrying a burden that I'm not supposed to, or I'm not allowing him to help me carry it, because it should not be too heavy. It should not be too much. That doesn't mean your spiritual muscles aren't going to be challenged. They will be challenged. But that's a blessing, and God is with us. He's working with us. The next one is that he delivers us. I know in every situation I face, no matter how difficult, God is going to deliver me. I just have a confidence in him that he's going to bring me through. It is not forever. It's just for a time. When I decided to do this conference 2 weeks ago, immediately, well, maybe it was before that, because I think it was before we knew that we had this building, Rob and I started fighting really bad. And in the middle of a fight, sometimes you feel like it's the end. You're never going to make it through. I started thinking, how in the world am I ever going to do this conference? This is ridiculous. I don't have anything good to say. Immediately I remembered, oh yes, I remember this voice of the enemy, because I know that the fight is going to be very temporary, and probably by the time the conference comes around in one day, it's going to be over. And I'm going to feel like a totally new woman, and I'm going to love my husband to death, you know, and that's exactly what happened. We know we're going to be delivered out of trouble. Psalm 91:14-16 says, and this is the Psalm 91, if you've never read it, come read it, the promises of abiding in him. Because, this is the Lord talking, it's quoting him, it says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and I will honor him. God, can we wrap our brains around it? God says that about us. This is his heart towards us. And the next one is he honors us. Can you imagine that the God of the universe honors us? We know we're to honor him, we're to respect him. The scripture says that, where am I at? 1 Samuel 2:30, the Lord spoke and he said, I was going to do this great thing for you, but far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me, I will lightly esteem. It's a sobering one, right? It's an amazing promise to value something, to honor it, to treat it as weighty, to treat it like it's valuable. I tell some of my kids, like, your Bible is valuable. Like, don't put it on the floor. Like, you know, treat it like it's valuable and it's precious to you. And God, he promises that he will honor us. Honor us. He wants to honor us. It's just amazing. And also that we need to stir up our honor for the Lord. We talked in the last session about stirring things up. We can stir up honor, right? Even in a worldly sense, people stir up honor all the time. You think all those people respect the president when they show up dressed up to those meetings? Probably not. They know, though, that it's expected that they show that kind of honor and they do things that are expected of them. And so it doesn't matter if our heart is feeling it at the moment. Stir up the honor of the Lord. Think about him. Praise him. Think about his goodness, his greatness, the things that he's done for you. Stir up honor. In other parts of the scripture, it talks about putting on, as in clothing, attributes, right? So we have a choice to make that we can actually put on love. It doesn't have to be, well, I don't feel it. That's okay. You're called to put it on. Put on honor. And then we need our hearts to be behind it too. It should be a heart thing for us because we love the Lord and we want to honor him. The next one is that he strengthens us. We talked earlier about waiting on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen you. So we can quote all we want, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, that's true, but sometimes there are contingencies, and we need to be waiting on the Lord. We need to be positioning ourselves so that he can strengthen us, so that he can get his word in us, so that he can correct us, right? And then that strength comes. It comes from him. Everything, all of it comes from him. It comes directly from him. He upholds us. He keeps us. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. I always think of shade. It's so personal, isn't it? He's my shade. These are the ways God reveals himself. He's our shade at our right hand. We will bear much fruit if we are abiding in him. We read John 15 earlier. Unless the branch stays connected to the vine, it cannot produce fruit. And so I was really convicted recently. I was reading an old Tim LaHaye marriage book from like the 60s that I found. And he talked about being filled with the Spirit. And I thought, well, this is interesting because I was filled with the Spirit when I was a young lass. And I'd like to know his perspective. And it said, turn to the appendix to find out. So I turned back there and he said, to be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. And he, of course, shared Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's, I think, NIV. I don't know. I learned it when I was a kid. Anyway, I was awakened at that moment, and I realized, I don't have any of these. I was humbled, because I thought, I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but I'm not filled with the Spirit. not right now. And my kids could tell you. Love? No, I was failing miserably. I wasn't exuding any joy. They're all things that test a parent, especially maybe, but love, joy, peace, patience, no. None of them. None of them. I was lacking self-control. It was eye-opening. it was good. And so the fruit comes from drawing near and being connected to the vine. Right? We can conjure it up all we want. Someone off the street that doesn't know the Lord can conjure up things, you know, conjure up peace or conjure up. We need life to be flowing from the Father through us. And so that is something sobering to consider. Are the fruits of the Spirit, are they abundant in our life? Because God wants them to be abundant. Much fruit. I don't just want to be that broken off branch with the little, and it wasn't even good fruit, I don't think. It was bad fruit I was producing. I was not connected. That's just a good indicator. I'm not connected. I'm not receiving what I should. So, next, he satisfies us. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Satisfaction. When I was a young teenager, any teenagers in the house? All right. This was a huge scripture for me because I was filled with dreams and hopes and expectations, and I read all of the marriage books, talking about all of finding a spouse and all these things. There's so many desires burning in you and excitement and so many people around you doing other things and finding other ways of getting all those things, and I was just waiting on the Lord, and I was standing on this promise. Lord, if I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart, and you will work in my life. And he was so faithful. So faithful to do that. He fills us. Oh, that we would overflow with the life of God. As we come to him, he fills us. There is life pulsating in our veins. John 7, 37 through 39 says, Jesus, he's at a feast, and on the last day, he stands up, and he cries out. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And I have good news, everybody. Jesus was crucified and the Holy Spirit has been given. That means that those who believe, wave your hand, if you believe in the Lord, there should be rivers of living water flowing out of you. And a river is meant to flow through. It's not meant to stop. So it fills us. It satisfies us. It meets our needs. It draws us near to the Lord. And then it reaches others. Rivers of living water. I need water. That's how I'm trouble singing. The Holy Spirit waters that satisfy our thirst. Waters that can satisfy the thirst of others. I want to make people thirsty. I want to make people thirsty for the Lord and for His truth. All right, the next one is He speaks to us as we draw near to Him. We need to draw near and hear from the Lord. We've got to hear from Him. Psalm 25:14 says, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him." Daniel also said, "There is a God in heaven who reveals secrets." In 2 Kings, Elisha is one that he's going to the king of Israel, and he's telling him the battle plans of the Syrians that are coming against them. And the king of Syria is mad because he says, "Which one of you is the traitor?" And they said, "No, but Elisha the prophet, he's telling what the king's saying in his bedchamber because the Lord had spoken to Elisha the plans of the king." That's just amazing to me. God has things He wants to say to us. He has things He wants to say for our family, things He wants to say for our friends, things that He's going to speak to our hearts. He wants to talk with us. Song of Solomon. "In the secret place, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet." Deuteronomy 5:26-27 is a really heartbreaking scripture about the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. And God wants them to draw near, but they're terrified. And they say, "No, we're not drawing near. You draw near, Moses, and you hear what the Lord wants us to do, and then you come back and tell us, and we'll do it." God says they're right. They would have been consumed because of their unbelief. But that wasn't what God wanted. God wanted to draw them near. I don't know what it would have looked like. Maybe they all would have gone up the mountain. Maybe God would have spoken to all of them. But instead, they had to hear from someone else. May it not be said of us. God, I want to hear directly from you. Even if it's coming through someone else, I want to hear directly from you. Let's not just leave it to the pastor to labor and try to hear for us. You know, let's not leave it to our friends. We need to hear from the Lord. You're going through something difficult. You're going through a challenge. What is God trying to say? Let's get quiet. Let's try to hear. John 16 says, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you." This is the promise of the Holy Spirit given to every believer, that the Holy Spirit would lead us, that He would take from the Father and give it to us, share it directly with us. That's beautiful. We don't have to hear through anybody else. We have a direct connection to the Father. That is precious.
Hallelujah.
God wants to speak with us. Romans 10:7 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." This is a rhema word. It's an uttered, spoken word. And that's where our faith comes from. People get into all kinds of trouble believing God for things that God has never spoken to them. Okay? His scripture promises healing. It promises different things. But we need to hear from the Lord. What does He want for us? And when we receive His word, now we can stand on faith. Because God has spoken to us, right? Mm-hmm. So we could save ourselves a lot of heartache and disappointment for hearing from the Lord. What is Your will, Lord? What is Your will in this situation? Because we don't always know. Can you hear me? Yeah. We don't always know what the Lord is working in us. And we don't always know His will for that moment. Right? The Lord might be doing something in your situation, and it might be challenging, but we need to know His will and move forward in faith. Jeremiah 23:21-22 is really sobering. Jeremiah 23:21-22. Because He says, "I've not sent these prophets, yet they ran. And I've not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in My counsel and had caused My people to hear My words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. So I didn't speak to them, and they ran. And I was convicted when I read that, because I thought, how much am I running, and I'm doing, and I'm going, but the Lord isn't sending me to do those things. Mm-hmm. He hasn't called me to do it. The Lord speaks to us for lots of different reasons, but my main point is that He has things to say to you in particularly. Things that pertain to your heart, to your life, to your marriage, to your children. We don't want to be those who are running without standing first in the counsel of the Lord. The Lord speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. It could be when we're spending time alone in our quiet place. It can be when we're in the shower. It can be when we're driving down the road, right? It can be when we're praying and we just have a knowing about something. This meeting, it happened like that. I was having my quiet time and I just knew. I could picture it. It was just like I saw it. I saw us here. I saw us in this building. I knew it was to be at the end of February. I knew that Robin was supposed to do worship. And that's how it worked out. And I didn't know at first. I was going on what the Lord showed me. And then here we are. And it's exciting. Thank you, Lord, that you're faithful and that it was you know. So I had faith to trust Him when the difficulty came. I could say, I know that this isn't me promoting myself. It's not me holding a conference. This is the Lord's conference. And I was able to take away my ownership of it and say, anyone that stands against this is standing against the Lord and standing against something that He's doing. And so that protected, that's a shield. It protected me from hurt. And I could just rely on the Lord that, Lord, you're doing something. You're working something. And I don't have to worry about it because it's your thing. Because He showed it to me, right? So, what else? Oh, with our own personal life, just some testimonies. What to do after Bible school. We didn't know where we were going to go, if we were going to stay in Oklahoma, or if we were going to travel home, or what. So I was in a prayer meeting at the school, and the Lord just spoke to me. We had good friends that did inner city ministry in Columbus, Ohio, and we had always kind of talked and dreamed about doing stuff together. And so the Lord just told me that they're going to call you and they're going to ask you to join their ministry, and you're supposed to say no. And that happened, and it was just comforting. Like, okay, and so these things don't happen every day. That's when I remember how long ago, 15 years ago, you know? But it stands out to me that the Lord knows, and He saw, and for whatever reason, He wanted to make that very clear to us. And so we didn't. We went home. We would have probably really liked, like, it sounded fun and exciting and something that we would have liked to have done, but the Lord said no. So there's no issue, no labor over, just nope. The Lord's already showed up. At some point when we were living on the farm, the Lord spoke to me, you're going to be leaving soon. I was in the shower. I still remember this. I was in the shower, and the Lord said, you're going to be leaving soon. And I didn't tell Rob, because I always like to see, well, I want it to be confirmed. I don't want to just guide the family, right? So I'm hoping Rob has something. Anyway, one day he came to me, and I was painting the kitchen, which meant I was settled in. I wanted to stay at that moment. And he came, and he said, you know, has the Lord spoken anything to you about us moving or something like that? And I'm like, I didn't want to tell him. Who knows? Yes. Yeah, yes. Why do you want to know? Do you have anything? Anyway, so yes, the Lord showed us that. Something that happened recently, this is really honest, is that our rent was raised. We rent a house, and our rent was raised. And we were already having a lot of difficulty paying our rent. Late every month, I was really frustrated. So they raised our rent, and I was angry. I was still in my bitterness, and I was really mad. I thought, can't you see that we're already not paying our building? And then my anger turned from them to Rob. Why didn't you stand up for us? Why didn't you tell them that we can't afford it? And blah, 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 blah. You know, just the enemy for my husband is nagging Jezebel to him. And I'm finally, after weeks of being mad and raging, I'm driving in the car alone, which very rarely happens, but when it does, I always feel the Lord's presence. I am finally quiet, and the Lord has a chance to say something to me, and He said plainly, I raised your rent. And I was, what do you say to that?
Thank you, Lord.
He said, I'm going to prove that I will provide for you.
Yes.
The farm needed to raise the rent. Their cost went up. They naturally had to raise our rent. I've been a landlord. I get it. But the bitterness is real, folks. And I was mad. And at that moment when He spoke to me, you know what happened? Peace. And I just thought, well, why didn't you tell me sooner? But I wasn't taking the time to quiet myself. I just kept running. I'm hurting and I'm going to trudge forward and it's going to drag everybody in my wake. My kids are going to feel my wrath. My husband is going to feel my wrath until I get my selfish way. Lord, he's merciful. He didn't have to tell me. He didn't have to tell me. He could have not said anything. I wasn't asking him what he wanted to say. I wasn't asking him for correction. It was his mercy in that situation that just loved me in my ugliness. And then I was able to experience, peace. There's the peace. Maybe I should have asked him sooner. Lord, what are you doing through this? You know, can you provide? Will you provide? And I'm like, okay, I mean, we eat $27 melons. You know, this place is expensive. $9 salad dressing. Like, the Lord provides and he's faithful. So that's my little, when the Lord speaks to you. When my children have been sick. Have any of you felt like your children were going to die when they were sick? It's something that plagues us as mothers, maybe. Husbands don't seem to be as, like, I don't know, they don't say that. But I always feel like there's a possibility they're going to die. Like, this is scary. So many times the Lord has spoken to me, they're going to be fine. Just that little word, that's all I need, that little word. Okay, I'm good. That's all I needed to know, Lord. And it changes everything. God wants to speak to us. And it's these little things. Sometimes it's very small. But we have to recognize his voice. Sometimes we just, you know, like waking in the middle of the night and thinking about praying. You know, recognize the Lord's drawing you. Acknowledge that. All right. Where are we at? He directs us. I am so thankful for the direction of the Lord because, like I told you earlier about my ugly, stinky selfishness, I would, if I could have chosen the different things that would happen in my life that would affect the rest of my life, like who I would marry, where I would live, how many children I would have, where I would work, etc., etc., I would have chosen different things. That's not to say that I don't appreciate what I have. It's just to say that in my own understanding, I would have chosen differently. I would have chosen the easiest, the best for me that I thought was the best. I would have chosen comfort and riches and, you know, just your list goes on and on what you would choose for yourself. But God directs our steps as we acknowledge him, and he loves us, and he knows us better than anyone else, and he knows what we need and how to love us best. So Jesus said, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever seeks to lose his life will save it. And so if I would have gotten everything that I thought I wanted, I would have been miserable because it would have just been selfish. God is faithful. He directs us and he leads us. In all your ways, the scripture says, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. Acknowledge him. The next one is correction. How many of you love correction? Anybody? Proverbs tells us to love it. And I have to admit, I have never loved it until maybe this year, I think, or maybe last year, that I realized correction is everything. Imagine if you never would have been corrected by your parents. You eventually correction would have come in school or some awkward, horrible situation. But what if you still ate with your hands? What if you still punched people in the nose when you felt like it? Well, your myriad of things that you can imagine if you were never corrected. Correction is life to us. It is blessing. It is peace. Where am I at? And we might say, well, the Lord, he can correct us whenever he wants, like me driving in the car, taking a shower, and he's speaking to me. He's merciful, but he can. It's true. Think about Balaam. The Lord tells him not to go, he goes. You could have your leg smashed against the wall by the donkey and be embarrassed by the flame, the sword, you know, in front of your way. God could correct you like that. How about Saul on the way to Damascus, and he's blinded? How about blindness? Does the Lord need to blind you to correct you? Ananias and Sapphira. So they lied to the Holy Spirit. Ananias comes in first. He lies and he drops dead. That was his correction. Sapphira comes in and does the same thing. She drops dead. I mean, these are New Testament stories. We can't say, well, that's the Old Testament. I mean, we need correction from the Lord, and we don't want to wait until it is judgment, until our hearts are too hard. Zechariah is made mute because he doesn't. We don't want that Moses. Moses is so heartbreaking. He's done all of this leading with the children of Israel, and the Lord says, I'm going to take you up on this mountain, and I'm going to show you the promised land. But you're not going to go in because you didn't obey me. It's sobering. Psalm 32:8-9 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. With my eye. Is that personal? I guide my kids with my eye, especially like in church when we're in public. Right? Nobody else. If I look at you and go, you'll be like, what are you doing? And my children know my eyes. And I go, they immediately know I better stop poking my brother. Whatever it is, I can guide them. I can tell them to sit down. It is intimate and personal. God, he wants to guide us with his eyes. It's just beautiful. It says, do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. He warns us, don't be like that. Don't be like that. We need to receive correction willingly. My Lord, please, this is my prayer regularly. Lord, please correct me. Please correct me. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. Speak to me. Convict my heart, because I don't always see it. And sometimes I'm hard-hearted, and I'm prideful, and I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. I am perfectly right in being angry with you because you didn't stand up for us when the rent was raised like you should have. Right? I feel I'm right. And if any of my friends said it, they'd probably feel the same thing. Yeah, but you just don't understand how hard it is. We have this pride. We need God to break through the pride and get to the heart of the issue and say, you're wrong. You're wrong, and you're not trusting me, and you're dragging everyone along with you. That is life to us. Can anybody love that aspect of correction? Love it. Love it. It is everything. Imagine a car that's not corrected when you're driving. It's the little tiny things here and there, right? Just a little bit. When you teach your kids this when they're driving. Not a lot, not a lot. Just a little. Just needs a little correction. Children, one of the blessings on the children of Israel, if they were obeying the Lord, was that their children would be brought up at their side. And I love that when I read it, because my children have been brought up at my side. They're near to me. And we have so many blessings because of the closeness of fellowship. One of the blessings that comes to them and me, among a myriad of others, is the ability to correct them when it's a little thing. I see their attitudes. I see the little things that can become big things, and I can correct them. And God's fatherly heart towards us is that his children would be brought up at his side, that they would be near to him, that he could correct them. And we talked about all the other aspects too, the fellowship and the love and the blessing and all of these. But one of them is correction. When we're near, he can correct it. He can nip it when it's small, when it's a little thing. And that is life to us, right? We want that. All right. I put on here, let's not wait until a little thing becomes a huge thing. You don't want to wait until you're having an affair. You don't want to wait until you're missing out on something big in life. You don't want to wait. What is the cost that you're willing to pay for not being near enough that the Lord can correct you in your little things? And I will tell you, I need a little bit of correction each day. It's the little things. Courtney, you're getting off. You know, you're being unthankful. It's little ones. And God is gentle with us. He is fatherly with us. But it's those little things that are a blessing to us. The next one is that he gives us wisdom. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. It is the main thing. Therefore, in everything you get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Proverbs 3:13-18, the blessings of wisdom. Wisdom comes as we are drawing near the Lord and spending time in his word, allowing him to speak with us and correct us. Especially you young ones, think about these things, these blessings. 13, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds, I'm going to see how far I'm supposed to go before I go too far. 13 through 18. Okay, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. It's better than money, better than a paycheck, and her gain is better than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths, all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. If anybody wanted to be happy, wanted to have pleasant paths, wisdom. Wisdom is the answer, and wisdom comes from the Lord. God has wisdom for you. You're looking for someone to marry. You're wanting to make a choice. You're choosing where to live or what to do with work or a myriad of things. How to deal with difficult family situations. Wisdom. It is the main thing. And it comes straight from God. All right. The last one, is simply the blessing of drawing near to the Lord is that he says it's good for us. Psalm 73 says, "For indeed those who are far from you shall perish, but it is good for me to draw near to the Lord." It is good. So what keeps us? What keeps us? See all these blessings, right? We love, in our selfishness and everything, we have a natural innate desire to bless ourselves, to do things that are good and comfortable and pleasing to us. And so if we see that it's what we need and all these blessings are associated with us, what keeps us? Do you guys have any input? What you think keeps us from drawing near to the Lord? It can be you personally, it can be the person next to you. You think what keeps them? Anybody? What keeps us?
Busyness.
Yes. Busyness. Guilty right here. Busyness. I just have other things to do.
A lack of trust.
Yeah?
Maybe not ready to give up the thing you know he's gonna point out.
Yeah, I don't want to draw too near, Lord, because I'm pretty happy with being angry at these people. Not really happy, but we feel like, yeah, we feel justified, right? I don't want to give up this hurt. I don't want to get back because if I give it up, they might never pay. That's awful, but these can be anybody else. Keeps us from drawing near. They're just good to think about and to acknowledge what keeps us.
I frankly have to deal with a false sense of duty, that all these things that I need to do to support and fill these roles, then this desire I have to spend all this time with God and that I feel I need, maybe I bit the lie that I'm being selfish with my time to have with God.
Right.
So it's actually one of those subtle twistings that Satan uses to steal what you really need.
Right.
Or me, so yeah. What I really need.
I can relate. I felt that way early in my pregnancy when I was like utterly exhausted and I was sure I was having multiples. And I wasn't. I was just tired. Very tired. And I felt selfish. And then I had to realize, okay, I'm actually laying my life down by resting when I need to, because everybody needs me to rest right now. But yeah. Anybody else? So I have on here, so my idea is ignorance. Maybe we just didn't, we never knew that God wanted us to be near, or nearer. We never knew that there was anything else, you know, until I grew up in an atmosphere that was all the time cultivating, spending time with the Lord. There was tons of prayer together, and there was tons of worship, and there was a lot of emphasis on everybody getting along and drawing near, and it was just what we did and what we knew. But until someone told me, I had no idea. You know, I didn't know. I just thought, well, we just go to church and I sing on the worship team and that's as far as it goes. Sometimes just ignorance. Sometimes unbelief, like, meh, I don't know. I don't think so. We have to believe that God is a rewarder, right, of those who diligently seek him. Mm-hmm. Sin and shame. Sin and shame keeps us from drawing near to the Lord. But sin and shame should never block us from drawing near to the Lord, because the only way we draw near to the Lord is through the blood of Christ. And his presence is a perfect place to come if we're repentant. We need to repent. But we come to him and we ask him, Lord, help me, right? And so it should never keep us away. It's the place we need to be. Distractions, busyness, distractions, things, just everything pulling on us. We simply spend time on other things. Even as a mother, you know, I have 9 kids. I I have an excuse that everyone in here would probably accept, that I just don't have the time. But it is not true. It's not true. I have time. I feel like sometimes more time than other people have. And I can create time. Women are good at that. We can make time. We can do 5 things at once and make time. We can get up 15 minutes early. I mean, there are things we can do, right? And it's not meant, I don't want anybody to feel a burden with this. It's not meant to be a burden. It's meant to be, yes, this is going to give me life. This is what I need. We simply turn aside to other things. When we have needs, when we have things that hurt us, when we're desperate, when we're weary, when we should be turning aside to the Lord, we often turn to other things. So what are your other things you turn to? Your mama, that's one of mine. A friend, a mom or dad, a pastor, a sister, a spouse, the television, Google. Have you ever had a help me and you went straight to Google? Take it to the Lord. Who was it that was corrected in the scripture? Because he sought the physicians first. It was a big deal. Anyway, point being, Pinterest. I'm feeling down. I'll just go to Pinterest for some inspiration. You know? Social media. That'll make me feel better. Hobbies. The list just goes on and on. When we, you know, whatever our thing is, that when something hits us, or when some difficulty comes, or we're tired and need rest, what do we turn to? Those are invitations from the Lord to draw near, and He wants to be the one that we come to. The last one is inhibitions, which go right along with pride and the fear of man. And this is mainly like what keeps us from drawing near to the Lord in a social setting. And we sometimes we get too caught up in what other people think, and we're not considering the Lord. So we shared earlier that in the assembly of the saints, God says, "I am greatly to be feared." And when you resist doing something because you're concerned about someone else, you are actually honoring them. You're showing honor to them. You're taking their opinion, and it's mattering to you. And when that is, it should always be that the Lord's opinion matters more, right? No matter what we're doing, the Lord's opinion matters more. And you say, well, it's just because I love my neighbor and I don't want them to feel awkward or something. Well, in following the Lord, I promise you, you will be loving your neighbor. God is not going to lead you to do something or have you do something that is going to be detrimental to them, okay? So we have to, each of us, focus on pleasing the Lord above all else, and He'll take care of the rest. All right, so the point is, whatever it takes, ladies, whatever it takes, we need to draw near. We need to draw near, whatever it takes. All right, so we don't know the cost of not being near to the Lord, like the child that wants what the mother has in her hand to give, but the kid won't change their grumpy attitude. And the mom's heart is to give it, right? The Lord has blessing for us, and He is waiting on us. We desperately need to turn to Him. We can't afford being apart from Him. And I already shared my story of the trauma and things like that. I had no idea what it was going to cost me. I never would have chosen. I think I would never have chosen the things that I did. Let's see. Where are we going to go now? Our enemy is real, and God is able to redeem. I even, just a little brief thing, in that period of anger and anxiety and unforgiveness, I was actually had a period where I was suicidal. And it was real. It was very real. I was seriously struggling. I had opened the door to all sorts of evil and ugliness, right? And I still wasn't drawing near to the Lord. I had literally written my letter of goodbye to my family. I mean, can you imagine? Just what I'm pointing out is our enemy. You know, we have a real enemy. I have no reason to feel these things. I have this beautiful family, and I'm literally checking out. Like, I'm sorry. I just can't go on anymore. I acknowledge that everyone's lives are going to be ruined because of me, but I'm done. And this reminds us that our enemy is real. And if He can get us to step out of that place of protection, He will do whatever it takes to destroy us. Yes. And thank God I had a husband, by the mercy of the Lord, that stepped in and said, no, I don't think so, and just took authority, and that thing was gone. I didn't have to deal with any of that anymore. But our enemy is real, and God wants to keep us by His power and protect us. So, that is all that I have for this morning. Rob is going to come and minister. And we just want to open it up for a time of ministry. If you have anything that you would like prayer for, or if it can be a time of repentance, you have your chairs you can use as altars, you can come up to the front. I just want it to be free. If you have something that the Lord's putting on your heart to share, please come and share it. We would love to just pray with you and lay hands on you. I was really impressed recently that the Lord, he laid his hands on people. His hands were, and the disciples too, when he sent them out, they were for blessing. He literally just laid his hands on people to bless them. He laid his hands on people to heal them. He laid his hands on people to impart spiritual gifts. There's a transfer of gifts when we lay hands on people. He laid his hands on them, just simply the power of God would fall on them. The Holy Spirit was given through the laying on of hands. And so your hands, everybody hold up your hands. Those hands aren't just for dishes, ladies. They're for blessing. And they're for all of those things. God has anointed us. And so when we pray for each other, the Lord said, there's a warning. He said, don't be hasty in your laying on of hands. But as we come soberly and in reverence for the Lord, remember, lay hands on one another. Pray for one another. You know, there is something really powerful that happens when we do that. Anyway, so we can just stand and worship, or you can sit and worship, whatever you want. We're just going to continue drawing near to the Lord. And if you have needs, I just encourage you to take them to Him.
Necessarily going to sing. I might sing. I'm just sort of playing for a minute so we can kind of pray and just sort of God speak to you. So feel free to sit if you want or stand. Thank you.
In all the earth. way that the song says, of the goodness of God. probably everybody knows my son, Woody. He's ready to graduate this year. Since he was little, probably 4 or 5 years old, he born with a problem on his eyes, like a cataract or something like that. And I walked with him with all this process of surgeries and appointments with doctors, new specialists and divisions, and so many problems on his vision. Finally, the more that he grew, they bring another things on his body, another problems. And I always be so depressed and sad, you know, like how my son is gonna be dealing with this problem. But I always trust the Lord. One day I have to take him to another doctor appointment with another specialist, and he told me, you know that your son is blind on his left side. And when he told me that, I was like in tears. I was like, how would he gonna do this? His passion is to draw. That's what he really loves. And I was praying to God every night for my son. And when we come to healings, he approached with more problems. And one day he said, I can't see. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like I see like dark spots. And I take it to the clinic, and the clinic say, we have to send him to a specialist right away. I mean, we have to go like now. And I was like so stressed, and I feel so scared. And I was like, what is gonna happen? I was very, very scared. But I was praying to God, and I asked the church, please help me to pray, because I don't want that Woody to lose his vision, because he only has one life good. And church is amazing. I mean, like church for me, since that I come here, it's the most amazing place for me, because they always support me in any weakness. They always there for me. I always feel that I can send out text messages and say, please help me. I feel like so depressed and I need help. So they send Woody with one specialist and another one, and they say like, okay, you have to go all the way to Anchorage. But like, they can't find like a good doctor for him, because they didn't know exactly what was wrong with his eyes. So since almost four years, during that kind of journey, you know, like they try to find out exactly what kind of medication they can work for him, put in eye drops, and then sometimes they cannot work, and you know, things like that. And then finally, last week we was in Anchorage. They do all the tests that they have to do for him. That is very painful. They have to like do something on the blood and like color, they go through his veins and all that thing. And finally they say, you know what? We don't see nothing wrong with the vision of Woody. He say his pressure is down and he's okay. And I was, me and Woody was in tears, you know, when the doctors say that to us, because we can't believe it. It was like, with all these years since he was little, finally that he's using a medication that is called Humira, that he has to put a shot every 15 days. But now they find exactly what his body needs. It's in control with that kind of medication. But it was for me, during all that process, it was like very scary, because I didn't know exactly what it would come. I was so scared. But many people from church, they always say like, oh, don't worry, you're just gonna be fine. You know, I find this Bible verse for you. And since like the way that you say that God, you know, has something ready for you to maintain you strong during all that journey. And I just feel like for me it is a miracle, you know, when they do all the tests, you know, on the screen and they see that it was not like the, I think first when they see the eye, they see like a black circle in his eye and produce inflammation, and I can't explain to you exactly what it is because I never understand exactly. It was just so many things, but what I know is that that hole is not there anymore. His inflammation is perfect, and he feels good. He can see good, and no side effects of the medication. You know, every time that you go on TV and then sometimes you hear commercials and they say like, you can use this kind of medication, but you know, side effects are this and that, and you're scared, you know. Yeah. I'm gonna use that medication, but look at all the side effects. But we just decide, you know, to trust God and just keep believing. And now he's leaving to California to the university. He's very excited. And I just have to keep believing that he's gonna be fine and that God is gonna like keep providing for him. And it's just amazing, you know, that he knows exactly when. It was many years, you know, like believing the lies, like the way that you say, listen to those lies, you know, maybe he's gonna be fine, maybe. He never gonna be able to graduate from school because he had like many things on my head. But I always believe that God, he has a purpose for him, for his life. And just, I know that it's gonna be a miracle. I know that it's gonna be a miracle. So I believe that it's there and God is faithful.
Yeah.
We just have to give, you know.
Thank you. Thank you for your blessings.
Oh, I'm sure. Good. I think still have the downside of it. Yeah. He's, but you have to I want a puppy. I don't know when.
Really good watch out, and I felt easy to do. She's got a little strange, got a lot of calls.